This is Maine Points, a look at the issues and ideas that have Maine talking. Now, here's your host, Mike Violet.
Thanks very much. Glad to have you with us on Maine Points this week. I am Mike Violet, and this week we're going to talk about medicinal marijuana on the program. And joining us today and talking with us about it is Dr. Dustin Sulak, who is from Integrate Health. Did I get that right, doctor?
You did. Thanks, Mike.
Glad to have you in. Let's see. What's my first, as I prep for this interview, so many questions. How does one get involved in medicinal marijuana to start with?
Well, as a patient, a lot of people come to our practice after they see conventional medicine fail them.
Mm-hmm.
So we treat a variety of conditions with cannabis. The most common is chronic pain. So a lot of patients have had a painful condition from an accident or maybe a neurodegenerative condition or neuropathic pain from diabetes. And they go through the conventional treatment and they realize that it hasn't really increased or improved the quality of their life. And they're looking for something that's safer, less addicting, and more effective in not only treating pain, but in also other areas of their life, like depression, insomnia, and so forth. But that's just pain. We see a lot of different conditions, you know, cancer, seizures, post-traumatic stress. We tend to be the last-ditch effort for a lot of patients.
Yeah, that's true. I should back up, and before I asked you that question, I should have asked you, what kind of doctor actually are you?
Sure. So I'm an osteopathic general practitioner. My practice focuses in integrative medicine. Integrative medicine is the intelligent combination of conventional and alternative medicine, and it's what I think soon is going to be called just good medicine. It takes into account body, mind, and spirit, but also the context of the patient, so their family, their community, their economic situation, all levels, and we tend to choose interventions that are more natural and safe before we'll choose more dangerous and invasive interventions.
Okay, that's interesting. It's an interesting way to describe it, and I think you're right. You are a last ditch effort. Is it to the point, Dr. Sulak, where it's becoming the first option or an option that people are looking at sooner than they used to?
It's starting to be. I think we're just starting to see that, but again, the stigma of cannabis has been turning a lot of people off that would really benefit from this medicine. So now we are starting to see, some of my favorite patients are in the 60 or even 70 years and above group that have never tried cannabis before in their life. They come into the office, they don't know anything about it, but they've heard from one of their friends or one of their family members that, yes, this is the best treatment for arthritis. It's safer and more effective than the other things you've been trying. And mm-hmm. So we really take them and guide them through the whole process. But as far as people just thinking, oh, wow, I should turn to cannabis as my first-line treatment, that hasn't started happening that much yet, but I think it will.
Well, perhaps with programs like this to educate them, they will, Dr. Sulak. You never know about that. We have some power here at Maine Points.
Okay.
You're not buying that.
Maybe.
Integrate Health, give us some background on the history in Maine, and there's been some expansion, too, in other states?
Absolutely. When I first started a private practice after I left residency, I had some background information on cannabis from some rotations I did in medical school, and I saw a patient who had a seizure disorder. He wanted to be certified for medical cannabis, so I figured out how to do it according to the law and certified him. He told a few people. I started getting more and more patients. Before I knew it, I couldn't handle the volume that I was getting, really because no other doctor was, or very few other doctors, were mm-hmm. comfortable working in this realm. Most doctors have no training in botanicals. And even the ones that do understand herbs and botanicals, cannabis is usually an outlier. It's usually that, you know, devil's weed or that taboo subject that we don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
So I started getting overrun with patients looking for cannabis certifications. And to handle that volume, I started Integrate Health in Falmouth, which is a practice that offers many types, many levels of integrative medicine, but with a focus on high standard of care cannabis evaluations. So what we've seen in other states and also in Maine is a number of doctors that look to get into the medical marijuana field. They're offering 2 to 5 minute consultations. It's just a quick turnover, basically like a patient can buy a medical mm-hmm. cannabis certificate. And so we wanted to distinguish ourselves from those types of practices and offer really high-quality care with a lot of patient education and a holistic evaluation, regular follow-up. We go to court to testify for our patients. So we became the high standard of care, and it worked out really well because the pot doc, the 3-minute cert, is actually addressing a whole different problem, which is cannabis prohibition, which we can talk about if you want. That's a
sure.
poor public health policy, and I see those doctors helping patients. Or not really patients, just helping individuals that choose to use marijuana in their personal lives and they don't want to get arrested for it. Our practice is very different. We see a lot of sick people, actually some very, very sick people.
Sure.
And we take really good care of them. So the model in Integrate in the Falmouth practice has been doing really well. And some of my colleagues that I know from medical school who live in some of these other states that have started medical cannabis programs, they, like the model that we were running in Falmouth. So we've started to open some other practices. We have one open in Massachusetts now, and we're soon going to be opening in Illinois.
I assume, Dr. Sue, like there has been favorable legislation passed in those states to allow this to happen?
Absolutely. Illinois went legal this year, Massachusetts the year before. And I think that it's just going to continue. We're going to see more and more states adopting medical cannabis laws and more doctors becoming interested in it. So we've really developed a system for offering this high quality care, for training the physicians and the nurse practitioners on how to assess and consult and recommend cannabis for people. It's been a wonderful journey.
We're talking to Dr. Dustin Sulak from Integrate Health, and the subject, of course, is medicinal marijuana. You can find him online at Integrate Health. Interesting spelling. It's integr8health.com if you want to find out more about the practice using medicinal marijuana, Dr. Sulak, and a whole lot more. Legislating it into Maine law, which, of course, just recently, we've had more. It was in the city of Portland. The use of marijuana has been approved. It's an interesting referendum that passed, the wording of it, but that aside, that's another topic for another time. In Maine, how difficult has the fight been to get to the point, Dr. Sulak, where you've convinced those people who have been naysayers all along that this is a positive, good thing for the healthcare people?
It's been very incremental. We've been going in the right direction, sometimes a couple steps forward and a couple back. One major success this year was the addition of post-traumatic stress to the list of conditions that's indicated for medical cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
That was something we were seeing people for. Hundreds of patients we've seen and said, we recognize this is helping you with your post-traumatic stress. Sorry, we can't certify you because it's not on the list of conditions. And the Department of Health and Human Services has a process that up until recently hasn't really been functional for adding conditions. So this year we actually went through the legislature with a bill that added post-traumatic stress. And we've seen wonderful results. Post-traumatic stress is something that's very difficult to treat, especially with pharmacological treatments. It responds well to cognitive and behavioral therapies and other non-pharmacological treatments. But, for example, the first-line treatment is an antidepressant, an SSRI. It's poorly tolerated by about a third of people with PTSD. And one of the side effects is that it raises the risk of suicide in a population that's already at high risk for suicide. Going beyond SSRIs, we have benzodiazepines and tranquilizers and other drugs that have a lot of side effects that are addicting and that don't really work that well for bringing someone's quality of life back. Cannabis, the safe herb, there's no lethal overdose. Often a very, very small dose of it is effective. And all of a sudden, these people are able to go back to work, to play with their children, to sleep without nightmares, to actually leave the house. It's just incredible what we've been able to see. And there's really minimal side effects, if there are any, very easy to modify their treatment plan and help avoid the side effects. What's really interesting, actually, is one of the...
Because I want to ask you if one of the side effects is getting the munchies, but that's just a whole old hippie in me, Dr. Sulak.
It's a great question. I've been really surprised by how many people come in and say, I love what this herb is doing for me, but I don't want to get high. How can I use this without getting high? It's something I didn't expect to see. And the truth is, it's actually quite possible. Because cannabis has been on the underground market for decades, it's been bred specifically to get people high because that's what drug dealers are able to sell, something that gets a person high. Now the medical growers are working hard to develop strains that are high in something called cannabidiol or CBD. And these high CBD strains don't have the psychoactive effects. They give you the pain relief. They give relaxation. They have anti-inflammatory and antipsychotic effects, great for sleep, but without the euphoria and without the feeling stoned or intoxicated. And it's wonderful. We're able to use these with people, and they go to work, and they, you know, don't have any negative effects. It's great. And munchies do happen. It's really interesting. People do get munchies, but in general, people who use cannabis regularly are less likely to be obese or have diabetes.
I need to start smoking some pot then.
You might.
That's the secret to me thinning down, apparently. But, you know, it's interesting how, for me anyway, to wonder how you continue to find new things that marijuana cannabis will help medically.
It's
the same thing as testing anything else, I guess, huh?
It seems to me and to a lot of people a bit like snake oil. Like, how could this one herb help with so many different things? How is that possible? And the skeptic in me at first didn't think so. But when you look at the human body, we're using substances called endocannabinoids in all of our tissues to regulate our cells, to promote balance. So we're actually creating substances that function a lot like THC and CBD, and they're active in our brain and all our organs and all our tissues. So basically, we're hardwired to respond to cannabis. Mm-hmm. This is why cannabis can help us with gastrointestinal problems, with nervous system problems, with skin problems. You know, basically every function in the body is designed to respond to cannabinoids. It's a wonderful class of therapeutic compounds.
Our guest today on Main Points as we talk about medicinal marijuana is Dr. Dustin Sulak from Integrate Health. You can find them online at Integrate Health. That's an 8 in the middle there. It's integr8health.com. Find out more about his practices, which are in Falmouth and Manchester, Maine, correct?
Correct.
And expanding now into Massachusetts and Illinois eventually. But we have lots more questions to ask him. We'll take a break with Dr. Sulak and more of Main Points coming after this.
Deep within the Pest Quest training laboratories.
Stinging insects send over 500,000 people to the hospital every year. I don't like hospitals.
Rodents, like mice, contaminate food and transmit disease.
Cockroaches spread 33 kinds of bacteria, 6 parasitic worms, and can trigger asthma. That can't be good.
Pests are anything but child's play. Protect your little scientist by getting the facts at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Here you are, Polly, my latest culinary creation.
These fish fillets look wonderful.
They are. I just used a small amount of a vegetable oil that's low in saturated fat.
Does that matter?
It does. Oils like canola, corn, and olive mainly contain monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats, and they can help reduce bad cholesterol in your blood and lower your risk of heart disease and stroke.
How do you know?
The American Heart Association told me at heart.org/facethefats.
Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Now, Main Points continues. Here's your host, Mike Violet.
Our guest is Dr. Dustin Sulak. We're talking about medicinal marijuana. He is from Integrate Health, online at integratehealth.com. That's spelled, though, integr8health.com. The legislative work that's been done, there's been progress made. There's a lot that needs to be done. Would you agree with that statement?
I would.
And I know you've done a lot, including here recently, petitioning the Department of Health and Human Services about adding Tourette syndrome to the list of afflictions that cannabis can help.
Absolutely. I have a few patients with Tourette syndrome that respond incredibly to cannabis, patients that have tried everything else. And this is a very serious condition that affects quite a lot of people, anywhere between 1 and 5% of the population. We don't see these people a lot because many of them are scared to leave the house.
Literally.
They get really judged by the people around them. And it's hard to understand when someone's yelling or twitching or cursing, you know, exactly what's going on with them. And they can use a very small amount of cannabis and have all of those vocal tics, the motor tics, the spastic movements. They just go away. It's like being able to be normal again for these people that have been so afflicted by this condition. And it's a neurodegenerative condition. We used to think that it was a psychiatric illness.
Yes.
But it's actually, there's heritability, there's genetic predisposition to it. It can have psychiatric or mental health triggers, but it's really something where it can be a person who's totally high functioning throughout their childhood and teens, and all of a sudden they start sniffing and snorting a little bit, and then a few years later, their life has gotten smaller and smaller in this little box. So I did petition the state to add Tourette's syndrome on behalf of a few of my patients. And this was the first time that the actual process for adding conditions was honored or available. We had a public hearing recently, and I believe the commissioner of DHHS will make a ruling on this very soon, which is great because it shows us that the process is working. As I mentioned before, previously we had to go through a whole legislative action in order to add, for example, PTSD.
When you go to DHHS or the legislature, whichever the case may be, with, let's use the Tourette's syndrome as the example. As you mentioned, a lot of people think it's not a, what did you call it, a neurological disorder.
It
they
is.
Think it's a mental disorder.
Yep.
Are they buying that? I mean, were you able to argue your case effectively, do you think, with them?
I think that a patient who came to the public hearing did a much better job
oh, really?
Than myself. Absolutely. Which is very brave for someone with that condition to come
really?
Out and get in front of others. And he told his story of, when he's in public, the analogy he used was having to hold back a sneeze while being electrocuted. That's the feeling all day long of trying to hold back these tics, and not to mention not being able to sleep. The Tourette's is also very physically dangerous. This young man, for example, was treated with such high doses of tranquilizers in order to sleep that in his sleep he was still having the spasms, and he smashed his head against the bed and actually fractured his skull without even waking up. A lot of people get chronic arthritis and joint problems because of these repetitive jerky movements that they just do all day long. So he uses a small amount of cannabis and is able to actually appear normal. He got in front of everyone, told that story, and it was just incredibly moving.
What is it, Dr. Sulak, that cannabis does to the Tourette's sufferer? What about the chemical itself? What does it do for those of us who have no idea?
Yeah, that's a great question. In the nervous system, cannabis can act in two different directions. So, for example, someone with Tourette's syndrome or a seizure disorder who has too much activity in their nervous system, the cannabinoids actually bring down the level of activity. They inhibit the excitation. That's what it's called medically. If you look at other conditions like Parkinson's, for example, there's actually a lack of activity in certain parts of the brain. The cannabis will actually increase the activity. So it's a mediator of balance, or what's called homeostasis. In the brain especially, but in other tissues in the body as well, it can bring things back to balance regardless of which direction they're off. It's an incredible medicine for that.
It sure sounds like it. I mean, I had no idea in doing some prep work and reading in preparation for this today. We're talking to Dr. Dustin Sulak, by the way, from Integrate Health about the use of medicinal marijuana, the advances made, and where it's going. He is from Integrate Health, again, INTEGR8, the number 8, health.com, if you'd like to find out more about this. When you went to osteopathic school, for lack of a better term, what was the school again? Arizona?
The Arizona College of Osteopathic
okay.
Medicine.
Was marijuana a subject?
Absolutely not. It was
no.
mentioned twice in the curriculum.
Okay.
One was during a pharmacology class. Back in that time, there was a cannabinoid blocking drug that was trying to be marketed as an anti-munchy drug. So it would block the cannabinoid receptors and prevent people from getting hungry. The unfortunate side effect is that it was causing suicide and dysphoria, again, because we're already using these substances to keep ourselves happy. A great example is the runner's high. A lot of people attribute that to endorphins. It actually is related to endocannabinoids more than endorphins, your body's own cannabinoid-like substances. So we heard a little bit about it in pharmacology, and that was pretty much it. It should have been a major focus of physiology. Every medical school should be covering this. We've known of this physiologic system since the mid-90s. There's more cannabinoid receptors in the brain than any other type of receptor, serotonin, dopamine. There's more cannabinoid receptors, but students aren't learning this at all. UNE's invited me in for a lunchtime lecture to talk about it, but it hasn't made its way into the mainstream curriculum yet.
Hmm. Interesting. How do we compare in Maine, Dr. Sulak, with other states when it comes to medical marijuana? Are we ahead, behind, same?
We have a very good law here in Maine. Some of the other states truly empower physicians to make the decision about medical cannabis. So California, Massachusetts, for example, if there's a patient that has a debilitating condition that's not on the so-called list, the doctor can still certify them for legal use. In Maine, we have to work within the confines of this list. But the nice thing is that the list has been getting broader and broader slowly over time. So right now, you know, with the addition of Tourette's and PTSD, I'm very happy. I'm not totally satisfied. I'm going to still work on behalf of the patients that I see. But we have a nice range of conditions, one of which has gotten really popular is seizure disorders. There's been a lot of media attention nationally on especially these kids with seizures who have tried all the medicines and they're still having hundreds or dozens of seizures a day. And actually, quite a few of them are starting to move to Colorado to seek high CBD cannabis treatment for these pediatric seizures, and they're having incredible results. So we've been getting more and more of these patients here in this state, and it's really growing quickly.
Now, when this has been something that has been put out to vote, whether it's by the legislature or by referendum, a lot of the opponents of it have come up with things like, well, people are going to make up things that they've got just to get pot legally. They're going to conjure up this illness or that illness or, you know, my God, I've got glaucoma or whatever the case may be. What are you seeing there?
It's true. People will do that because they want to use cannabis recreationally or personally. We have a very good system in our office of screening people for that. So we're always requiring the medical records from their previous specialty consults. And I think when they approach our office, they realize we're a real medical practice and they can go to other doctors for the less medical approach. And so the argument is probably true. People will try to use the medical marijuana route in order to get personal use. We don't see that a lot in our practice. But in general, for public health, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. It may hurt the movement a little bit. It dilutes it. But really, some of the greatest harm associated with personal or recreational use of marijuana are the legal consequences and these socioeconomic consequences. The personal health dangers are very low.
Yeah, sure. That sure seems to be the case, seems to be what you hear about this. And I would imagine you've probably become quite good at seeing people who might be trying to hoodwink you into this.
We do. They still get past the front desk every once in a while, and we have some of these folks, and we say, you know, sorry, you came here for a real medical visit. You don't really have a medical issue. It doesn't seem like that. So
you're going to have to keep on using Vinny, your dealer. Sorry
exactly.
about that. Integrate Health is the website. Again, it's INTEGR8, the number 8, health.com. My guest, Dr. Dustin Sulak from Integrate Health. One more segment with a good doctor. We'll finish it up after this.
Papi.
Yes, mija.
I love walking around our block.
Me too.
It's just like walking around the world, but it doesn't take as long.
That would take a long time.
No, really. My friend Kayla's from India, and Lily's family is from China. And Beza travels a lot to see her family in Ethiopia.
And don't forget the Murphys.
I really like our neighborhood and all the families from different places.
We're lucky, sweetie. We live in a diverse community.
Diverse?
Yeah. It's a place where people from all different backgrounds come together and live. And share and appreciate everything that makes us special.
I like it.
Neighborhood diversity promotes a greater sense of engagement, teaches that stereotypes are wrong, and better prepares our children for the global community. To learn more about how the Fair Housing Act promotes diversity, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. The Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, and familial status. A message from the Department of Housing and Urban Development in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Now, Maine Points continues. Here's your host, Mike Violet.
My guest is Dr. Dustin Sulak. We're talking about medicinal marijuana. You can find Dr. Sulak in both Falmouth and Manchester, but online at integratehealth.com. That's INTEGR8, health.com. So what you do a couple of days a week at either place?
Exactly. I split up the week.
Yeah, good. You get, how's it gone over? I mean, are you, when you decided to go to this side of things, did you have a place where you wanted to be? Are you there?
I've been holding on for the ride, honestly. I thought my practice was going to be osteopathic manipulation, hypnotherapy, herbs and supplements. The medical cannabis thing just grabbed me and took me. And now I work with about 10 other doctors and nurse practitioners. They're all thrilled with what they see. They can't believe it. You know, at the end of the day, we sit around and talk. about how many patients got off opioids, how many patients got off the benzodiazepines. It's now, things that you don't see in the normal medical practice.
Here's your host, all right, Dr. Mike Vilek.
I come to you. I've got, neuropathy in my feet, whatever.
Yep.
And I it's driving me crazy, and I want some. I want something to help me. You, all right, cannabis is for you, Mike. You toke them if you got them. Is my Blue Cross Blue Shield going to cover the pot?
No, I don't think so. We've had a few cases.
Seriously, medical insurance, where does it work in here?
Yeah, well, medical insurance will help reimburse patients for their medical visit, of course, but actually when they then go to the dispensary or the caregiver to pick up their medicine, medical insurance isn't going to touch it.
I actually knew the answer to that question. It's the only question I knew the answer to that I've asked you today.
There's been some workman's comp cases that have been going in that direction. I'm not sure.
I need to fall down here after we're done, right?
Right. But the other thing about cannabis is that it's sustainable. So these patients that start buying it from a grower, eventually they realize it's a good medicine for them. They can grow it at home. They can grow a personal supply for very low cost. And in the long run, that's a very sustainable approach.
And so you can get permission to grow it yourself?
Yeah,
that's legal?
Yeah, with a medical certificate, you can grow up to 6 flowering plants.
6?
Which is enough for most people. More than enough, actually.
So I've been told. Of course, I would never know this. This is what people tell me about this. We're talking to Dr. Dustin Sulak here today about medicinal marijuana. I mean, you know, we joke about it, and my co-host on the WGAN Morning News, Ken Altshuler, Ken was actually on the Maine Medicinal Marijuana Board originally. He always still complains about not getting free samples. But nonetheless, it's funny because it's something we can laugh at, you know, with what is, you know, clearly is there. But its effectiveness, you see it all the time. I mean, this is better than taking than going to, you know, the local drugstore and getting what they get.
It really is. And it's nice to laugh about it to balance out some of the stigma and negativity that's been around it. But at the same time, it's really sad that a lot of patients are starting off getting addicted to opioids before their doctor suggests that they come see me. And it's also sad for a lot of nonviolent drug offenders who are sitting in prison right now due to marijuana violations.
How much time have you been spending through your day on the legislative law side of things?
Not that much. Maybe a half day a week or so.
Yeah. But it's the fight. You seem to be winning.
There's a lot of momentum. There's a lot of patience. I happen to be a good spokesperson for this cause, and I believe in it. I see firsthand. I have no agenda here. I just want to help people be healthier. And this is one, not the only one, but one very powerful way of doing it.
Well, it sure seems to be something that's taking off, and I hope it continues to do so with the latest edition, the Tourette's thing. And somebody, is it Mary Mayhew, the DHHS commissioner, who's going to rule on that?
That's right.
Okay. And frankly, this week, Mary Mayhew is the featured speaker at Eggs and Issues at the Holiday Inn by the Bay. And so she'll be on the WGAN Morning News. I think it's Wednesday this week. And so I will ask her.
Please do.
What her thoughts are there and what she thinks she will decide. Did she give a date on when she might possibly have a decision?
I believe it's soon. I don't know what the final date is, though.
Try to pin her down a little bit on that.
Thank you.
Again, you can find out more about Dr. Sulak and his practice at integratehealth.com. Again, the spelling integr8health.com. We appreciate you being with us on Maine Points. Dr. Sulak, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming here.
Thank you. It's been fun, Mike.
You take care.
This has been Maine Points with Mike Vilek. Join us next week for more issues and ideas that have Maine talking. Thanks for listening.